I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday afternoon, and we're going to be talking about daylight saving time in just a moment. Very sad news about Gwen Ifill. I didn't even know she had been sick, and to hear that she had died today of endometrial cancer is very, very sad. She was such a wonderful and kind and civil journalist. It's a loss to the profession, no doubt about that. So let's talk. And we're going to be talking about something that is not as controversial, perhaps, as what we discussed last year, but it is an interesting topic, and I never knew the history of daylight saving time until we got this show arranged for you, and we're going to be talking about daylight saving time this hour of the program. Our guests have written different papers and have different points of view about how daylight saving time was founded, a little bit about the history of it, when it was used, why it was used, when it was forsaken, why it was brought back, and also done some studies on whether or not daylight saving time is good for our health or whether or not it could be harmful to our health. We're going to have a couple guests with us during the course of the hour. Lawrence Jin is a PhD student at Cornell University studying behavioral economics, and he co-authored a recent paper, Does Daylight Saving Time Really Make Us Sick? He has done a very interesting paper on the whole history of daylight saving time, first proposed by, well, we should let you guess. Well, we're going to get to it early on, but it's interesting who first proposed it and how long ago that happened and why he proposed it. You can't wait to hear who it is, right? And a little bit later, we'll be speaking with an associate professor of management at Foster School of Business, researching sleep and fatigue issues in the workplace, among other issues. We'll be welcoming phone calls. I don't know about you, but the weekend, and it's, you know, we're into all of this now when it gets dark earlier and earlier and earlier, and it's such a hard time of year. I've always wanted daylight saving time all the time, but I know it's not going to happen probably. Maybe it should. I don't know if it should or shouldn't. That's what we talk about this hour, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls. I'm sure you have opinions on this. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Lawrence Jin is a PhD student at Cornell University. His piece is, Does Daylight Saving Time Really Make Us Sick? And he starts with an introduction to this subject and history of daylight saving time. Our phone number, what did I give it to you? 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Leave your messages there and let's read them. Hi, thank you very much for being with us, Lawrence. Hi.
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 For having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So it was Ben Franklin who came up with this idea, but it was kind of a satire?
Yes, apparently so. So it was first mentioned, the idea, by Benjamin Franklin in a letter, but it wasn't until the First World War that people actually implemented it in Austria, Hungary, and Germany.
Mm-hmm. They were during World War One, and the reasons for this then were what?
I'm actually not an expert in the history of daylight saving time, but as far as I'm concerned, I believe it was first introduced in order to conserve energy during that time, because back then, it was important to conserve candlelight and energy.
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of been in and out of our reality for some time, hasn't it? We haven't always had, since we first had it in this country, we haven't always had daylight saving time.
That's correct, yes. And also, I mean, if we look at the world map, a lot of European countries picked this up first. Of course, America did too, but also there are a fair number of countries that don't worldwide, especially in Asia. So.
And a couple states in America that don't have daylight saving time, right? Parts of Indiana, isn't it, and Arizona?
That's right, and also Hawaii, I believe. That's right.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I guess you could put up with it in Hawaii because it's so beautiful, right?
Right. I actually visited there last summer, and it was amazing.
Isn't it? It's like paradise.
Yeah.
It really is. It's just like paradise. So on the overall look at daylight saving time, does it make us feel mentally better? We'll talk about the physical effects in a moment. Does it brighten our spirits? Do we feel more enthusiastic when there's more daylight?
So these are all really good questions, and unfortunately, it's not as straightforward studying that using the data. in part because it's we don't have a lot of good, you know, surveys that directly ask people for about how they feel because of daylight saving time and so forth. What we can do is look at people's sleeping patterns throughout the year and see if there are any anomalies during these time shifts, mm-hmm. and whether there are health effects.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, looking at hospital admissions, or you know, even perhaps self-reported physical health. And yes, go on.
No, you go on. You're the expert.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, just to summarize what we find, we use two large data sets. We look at self-reported sleep patterns and self-reported health measures from a large survey in the U.S., and we complement that with data on the universe of all hospital admissions in Germany. So the idea here is to study both the mental and physical health effects using 10 years of data across two large countries and see if we get consistent results.
Mm-hmm.
And what we consistently find is actually somewhat surprising that when we fall back by an hour, like we did 1 week ago, people on average sleep about 40 minutes more, and we see better self-reported health and fewer hospital admissions in subsequent days. So I think the takeaway here is that getting extra sleep really helps, especially to those who are perpetually sleep-deprived, like myself.
Yeah. But why are people going to the hospital then? Are they mentally fatigued? Are they getting the flu more often, or what's happening?
Yeah, so this is actually quite surprising that the number of hospital admissions were this much affected by these time shifts. What we find is that people do sleep more and that admissions fall.
Mm-hmm.
So we've looked at different kinds of categories like heart attack cases, accidents, also cardiovascular diseases, and all these categories seem to be affected by the time shift. And I think, you know, for most of us, for many healthy people, that 40-minute extra sleep might not have a big impact, but people at the margin who tend to be unhealthy and are at risk,
mm-hmm.
That extra 40 minutes of sleep matters a lot.
Mm-hmm. And what happens on the other end? When you have daylight saving time, you lose sleep, right?
Right. So we looked at data in March when we spring forward and we lose 1 hour. Surprisingly, we don't find that people sleep significantly less. We also see a small increase in hospital admissions, but the magnitude is smaller than what we find in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So this was initially surprising, but we think what might be going on is that, fortunately, nowadays, we have a lot of media coverage about the negative health consequences of the time shift. We think that people these days might be behaviorally adjusting their schedules to make sure that they don't sleep less ahead of time. And we think this is good. We think this is fortunate because without these kinds of behavioral adjustments, people would sleep less, and this could have detrimental health effects.
Mm-hmm. And some of these are serious, right? When you look at the well-documented increases in road and workplace accidents as well as heart attacks.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So do you have recommendations? Would we be better off if we just didn't have daylight saving time, or if we always had daylight saving time, or what should we do?
Yeah, so again, that's a great question. That's a hard one, too. Because when we think about daylight saving time as a policy, right, we have to think about many factors other than health. So we have to think about administrative costs, energy consumption, also people's happiness or unhappiness from the shift, and so on. So, of course, we believe health is a very important component, and in our paper, we find positive health effects of having this daylight saving time. And it turns out it's because it's helping some people to sleep more. But that said, there could be easier and more effective ways to make people sleep more than having this whole daylight saving time. So, you know, there are lots of things to consider in the debate. And as researchers, we provide findings, but we're for the most part staying agnostic and open-minded.
Hmm.
But I think the main takeaway here is I don't think our paper can and say much about daylight saving time as a policy, but what we can say is that sleep matters a lot, and so
it does, right?
We should all try to get sufficient sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't get very much, you said. What's going on?
No. Well, you know, being a PhD student isn't exactly. I try. But
right.
It's a lot harder. It's a lot easier said than done, I think.
Yeah. How true. The other thing I always wonder about, because it strikes so many people, they hate the first week that we go off daylight savings time because you're losing so much light, and everybody feels kind of down, and then it keeps getting darker and darker. It's 3:30 in the afternoon, and it's dark outside, and you're saying, "Oh, this is terrible. I want some light." Aren't there significant mental health effects when we do this?
Yeah. So I think that would be fascinating to study. Unfortunately, we don't have enough, good quality data sets to answer that question well. But I think it would be fascinating to study that in the future. I think it's one thing talking about the effect of the transitions, the time shifts in March and in November. It's a whole other thing to talk about the effect of the whole summer when we get extended daylight and, you know, in other times when we have less of that. So, yeah, it's a fascinating question. I don't have a good answer.
Right.
Yet.
Well, I think the audience will. I think we're going to hear from some people. We're talking about daylight saving time this hour of the program and whether or not it has an ill adverse effect on our health. We changed, you know, just recently. The studies show that it cuts into sleep and decreases workplace injuries. These studies are on daylight saving time, sleep quantity, and associated workplace studies. And there have been lots of them done. Hospital admissions in Germany, also another one that looked at mining injuries for many years, from 1983 until 2006, found that in comparison with other days, on Mondays directly following the switch to daylight saving time, in which 1 hour is lost, the same isn't true for the hour that is gained. Workers sustain more workplace injuries and injuries of greater severity. What do you think about all of this? Do you think that we should perpetually be on daylight saving time? What happens to you as a human being when you lose that light? Well, we welcome your phone calls. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. Lawrence Jin is a PhD student at Cornell University. He co-authored a recent paper, "Does Daylight Saving Time Really Make Us Sick?" And later we will be speaking with an associate professor of management who does research on sleep and fatigue issues in the workplaces, and they've come up with a whole series of public health recommendations about daylight savings time and sleep. Daylight saving, not savings. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Jeff in Mount Vernon is our first caller for you, Lawrence. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, thanks a lot. So it's really just always crazy. I don't like the daylight savings time, but and every time there's a show like this or you do a little research, nobody can really come up with exactly why it was started or Ben Franklin or World War One and candle power. But I always thought that it should just be opposite. It should be flipped around. So, in other words, in Wisconsin, I don't need it to be dark at 9:30. And in winter, I don't need it to be dark at 4:30. It should be the other way around so it wouldn't be such a crazy flip-flop. So in the summer, 8:30 would be plenty fine for the sun to be going down, and in the winter 5:30 seems much more reasonable, and I just wondered if your guest had any comments on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Lawrence.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I think from a policymaker's point of view, I take your point, and I think that's a good point, but as a from a policy standpoint, you know, in a perfect world, right, we would have different policies, the daylight saving time system implemented for maybe different states and so forth, but that would just not be practical. So, yeah, I think that's a good point, but, you know, I am currently in Ithaca in upstate New York, where we really value that extra daylight because it gets dark very early. So yeah, I think it's something that we should really think about. Mm-hmm. But I think it's there are some practical concerns about implementing this state by state.
Writer on Facebook says, just an FYI, Hawaii doesn't have daylight saving time because the closer to the equator you are, the less the seasonal effect of day length. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff, very much for your call. Joan in Gays Mills. Hi.
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 I hate daylight savings time. I wish we'd get rid of it entirely.
Why?
There's no such thing as saving daylight. When you get it in the evening, it steals it from the morning when I need it. I am so relieved when we get rid of it. I'm more alert and cheerful and able to get more done in the day.
Don't you hate it when it gets dark at 4 in the afternoon?
And by the time that time, I'm ready to go to bed anyway. I need it in the morning.
4 in the afternoon.
I guess that's the problem because some of us like the mornings and some of us don't, right, Lawrence?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, again, I understand it's I understand it affects different people
yes.
differently, and I think it's great to hear these you know comments from various people. Because it certainly does affect some people a lot more than others.
There's somebody, you of course are speaking to Wisconsin, Michael sends us this email, the cows don't care.
Right.
Yeah. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we are going to Christina next. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I just want to say first that Gwen Ifill will be greatly missed. She was a wonderful host. And also, my comment about the daylight savings time is that I agree with the last caller. I think we should just get rid of it. I always, for my entire life, have felt that once it goes back to the fall back where we are now, I feel like I'm so much more in tune with the earth and the rhythms of the earth.
Mm.
And when it goes forward in the spring, I feel rushed, like I'm hurried through the spring and through the summer.
Yeah, but you can sit outside, go to the park, and it's light outside, and you have a little picnic. It's 8 o'clock.
I think that it's a societal thing that we tend to shy away from the dark, and I think we need to learn to embrace that more.
Ah.
Yeah, and I'm also a star person. I love looking at the stars at night, so that's part of it, too.
Yeah, tonight you'll see a good moon.
Oh, last night was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous.
Yes.
Lawrence, what do you say?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I never thought about that, about embracing the dark. I certainly do. I tend to wake up pretty late, and I stay up very late at night. Yeah, that's interesting.
And have you always been that way? It seems as though people are that way for years and years and years.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think there's some research in biology that looks at our natural cycle of sleep. So I think there was a psychologist study. I don't quote me on this.
I won't. You're only on the radio saying it, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I think there was a study where they put some people. In a cave where they couldn't have access, or in a room, in a dark room where they didn't have access to the sunlight, and saw how people naturally slept and woke up, and found that their daily cycle is a little longer than 24 hours. So, and I think for me, certainly, I think if it wasn't for the fact that there's 24 hours in a day, I would probably sleep later. And, schedule that way.
Right. Do you think that our sleep is an 8-hour cycle for most of us, or is it longer?
I think there are studies that say that 8 hours is an ideal goal that everybody should target. Then again, the funny thing about sleep is I think if you sleep too much, that's also bad for you.
Right.
I certainly have had many days when I slept for 10, 11 hours and I just felt terrible.
Yeah, right. And you've had other days when you slept 4 hours and you felt terrible too, right?
Right, right.
Let's go next to you. Thanks, Christina, for your call. Tony in Madison. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Tony.
So I've heard two factors. One was daylight savings time being put in place to promote commerce. I think that was debunked. The other one, at least over, you know, decades, people shop no matter what. But there's another factor, which is just parents and schools not wanting their kids in the winter going to school in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how much that has been considered by policymakers. Or if your guest would know that, if that was actually a factor.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, wasn't it, Lawrence? Hello? Hello? Are you there, Lawrence?
Sorry. Hello?
Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah. That was a weird sound. Yeah, so I think that's definitely something that we consider. The fact I'm not a policymaker, but I know people have looked into this and look at the pros and cons of having extra sunlight in the morning versus in the afternoon. For example, there are studies that look at how people exercise differently as a result of the time shift and so forth. There are some people who like to, and also looking at crime rates because having that extra sunlight in the morning versus afternoon. These are all, I think, very good questions and also, again, very hard to answer.
Well, you'll soon be in the position of being able to make policy on all of this. It seems as though we need people to make policy. You've looked at this long and hard and know what's best for our health, don't you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Thank you, Lawrence, so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Have a very nice sleep tonight.
You too.
Thanks. Lawrence Jin, PhD student at Cornell University. He studies behavioral economics and is co-author of a recent paper, Does Daylight Saving Time Really Make Us Sick? We switch guests now. Christopher Barnes, an associate professor of management at Foster School of Business, who does research on sleep and fatigue issues in the workplace, among other issues. And we are going to have public policy recommendations here that some of the issues that we addressed with Lawrence, maybe we need to establish some national standards for schools, for work hours and schedules, for daylight saving time, maybe eliminating daylight saving time, looking at the impact of electronic media on sleep, and a whole host of other issues that we'll be talking about with Professor Barnes. Continuing to take phone calls, 800-486-8655. It's just been over a week since we have lost daylight saving time. A lot of you are saying that's okay with you. You wish it were this way all the time. You get your light in the morning. And we're looking at what happens to our health. And it looks as though most of the ill effects come from when we go to daylight saving time. That's when it creates issues in terms of workplace safety, et cetera. And we thank you, Professor Christopher Barnes, for joining us. Hi.
Nice to be here.
How are you enjoying the lack of daylight saving time? Do you miss it?
I'm not a big fan of the policy, so I'm glad to be back into standard time.
You are, even though it gets dark at 4 in the afternoon.
Well, I think when we talk about these daylight saving time issues, a question that often gets lost in this process is what happens at the actual transition days?
Mm-hmm.
So, we implement these policies for a specific economic reason, which we can talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of changing back and forth from these daylight saving time policies, what is this doing to people here in the U.S. and other countries that practice this?
Yeah, and the ill effects, am I wrong in saying this? Most of the ill effects happen when we go on daylight saving time, that the spring is harder for us than the fall?
Correct. And the analogy here is just like traveling east versus west. It's a lot harder to adapt your sleep schedule when you go east than when you go west. Mm-hmm. Our circadian process, it's relatively easy to extend it, right? To stay up an extra hour, not that big of a deal. We can do that anytime we want to watch an extra hour of TV. We don't have to fight sleep too badly. But try to get yourself to go to bed an hour early, and you'll find that's a much more difficult task.
Yes, it is. How true that you can't really sleep, right?
Correct. There are physiological reasons for that, with having to do with melatonin and sleep gates. But the short version of that story is that when we shorten the day by an hour, that's really hard to adjust to, which is why traveling east is difficult and moving to daylight saving time in the spring is difficult. And so we get this day, which I call Sleepy Monday in the spring. That's right after the change to daylight saving time, and people go to work on Monday just a little bit short on sleep, somewhere between 40 and 60 minutes less sleep than they would normally have. And this produces a variety of negative effects.
Yeah, but everybody's saying even today we're off daylight saving time, and people are in the office saying, oh, you know, it's Monday.
Yeah, so there are separate Monday effects as well. But above and beyond that, there are effects from transitioning into daylight saving time in the spring. In the fall, we don't really see those transition effects nearly so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's just because it's easier to stay up an hour late than it is to go to bed an hour early.
So tell me, what are the public health issues that have broad implications for cognitive outcomes, mental health, physical health, work performance, and safety?
Well, a lot of my research looks at what happens at work when people are sleep deprived. And so there's a large literature that shows that when you are sleep deprived, your ability to concentrate and focus and do well on any particular task is going to suffer. And so one of my early studies looked at work injuries in a mining setting.
Mm-hmm.
What we did is we examined all mining injuries in the U.S. over a 25-year period, which was over half a million mining injuries. And then we looked at this transition to daylight saving time, and we found that on that sleepy Monday, right after the change to daylight saving time in the spring, there's a spike of 5.6% in the number of these mining injuries. And the severity of those injuries, measured by a number of lost work days, went up by over 50%.
That's significant.
Yes, yes. I mean, these are people who are being seriously injured at work because of a policy that costs them some sleep. And this happens every year until we get rid of the policy.
What about mental health?
I haven't done any research on mental health. I think it's reasonable to expect that because we know there are effects of sleep deprivation on mood and stress and these sorts of things, that there will probably be effects of transitions to daylight saving time on those same outcomes, mood and stress. But I haven't seen the data on those.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, you mentioned the economic reasons. Are those primarily why we have daylight saving? Others have suggested that they don't want children going to school when it's dark outside in the morning, in the winter. What are the reasons now?
Well, the original reason for daylight saving time, as far as we can tell from historical records, were to lower energy costs because the daylight hours of the day kind of change throughout the year, and we want to make sure that we're matching human activity to those periods of daylight so that we don't have to have our lights on as much. So I think that's a generally reasonable goal, but it was set back when we didn't really have any tools to analyze whether or not it's a successful goal to have. And there was a cool experiment in Indiana. So Indiana got rid of daylight saving time, and so some economists went in and said, okay, now we can see, does daylight saving time actually lead to, does eliminating daylight saving time lead to an increase in energy costs? And what they actually found was that having daylight saving time leads to higher energy costs.
Oh.
So the whole reason that we have daylight saving time to begin with is not really supported by the data.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots of costs, such as workplace injuries, as I mentioned. Another outcome that I've looked at is cyberloafing. So my colleagues and I measured cyberloafing in a few different ways, but in one of the studies, we looked at people engaging in Google searches. So they're at work, they're paid to be working, but they're looking for cute kittens on YouTube or
puppies.
Looking for the latest gossip on Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Right, right.
So there's lots of ways you can cyberloaf at work. And so, again, we looked at Sleepy Monday right after that change to daylight saving time, and we find that these entertainment website searches goes up by somewhere between 3 and 6%.
Woo!
Sleepy Monday. So, again, we're talking about lost productivity now in addition to workplace safety issues. They're all tied to this change that happens in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no economic benefit to having the policy, as indicated by energy costs actually being harmed by a daylight saving time policy. And then we see that there are health and productivity costs associated with daylight saving time. So to me, it looks like the balance is pretty clear here that we should be eliminating this policy.
Let's welcome phone calls. We have many of them. There are also recommendations our guest has called for, which I think are interesting. Middle and high school students starting school, a national standard for when they start school, and it should be later in the day, which seems to make a whole lot of sense. Stronger regulations for work hours and schedules, eliminating daylight saving time, which she believes we should. What do you think about that? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Twitter is @KDunnShow. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, two phone calls. We go to Ken in Madison. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I just want to provide a little balance here. I'm for daylight saving time. I'd like to see it year-round, primarily because I hate that losing that hour in the afternoon. In fact, I have my own business, and just recently I started leaving my office an hour earlier because I am not leaving my office when it's freaking dark. I hate that.
I know. I see your point, Ken. I can almost join you. Right.
It affects me mentally because I get all pissed off. Excuse my French.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's upsetting. And very frankly, in the spring when you get that extra hour, I just turn my clock back an hour, and hey, I got another day hour to stay up. I don't get any more sleep.
Professor Barnes.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty ambivalent as to whether or not we eliminate daylight saving time or implement it year-round. To me, those are relatively equivalent. My issue is the transition into and out of daylight saving time because of the disruption of circadian rhythms.
Hmm.
So if you want to permanently go to daylight saving time, I don't have any beef with that, although really you're just changing your activity throughout the year.
Right. Isn't that interesting, though, that he changes the hour his business is open when it ends? Closes up shop early.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that, as long as he's transparent with his customers.
Thanks, Ken, for the call. Let's go to Larry in Green Bay next. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm in favor of leaving it on all year round. It's much nicer to have daylight in the morning, or I should say in the evening. And as far as the issue with the schools go, you know, the western edge of a time zone is an hour later to start with, so it's dark over there in the morning for almost an hour before or after it starts out on the eastern edge. So kids somewhere have to go to school in the dark. There's no way out of it. So it would be much more pleasant to have daylight hours all day.
Mm.
But think about that time zone issue. You know, a year and hour difference from western to eastern. So in the same time zone, they're an hour later anyway. I mean, the sunrise is.
Professor?
Yeah, there are actually some studies on Twitter that look at how activity varies across time, within a given time zone. And what this caller is describing actually does happen in that essentially you are closer to the dark on one edge of the time zone than the other. And so we see this influencing human activity. But I think it raises the bigger question, which you sort of hinted at earlier in your show as well, as far as the school start time for kids. There's a large body of evidence to indicate that kids tend to be circadian shifted to be more like night owls once they're in high school. So they have a natural tendency to go to bed late and wake up late. And, of course, we shake our fists at them and say, you lazy teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just a fundamental biological process. At least them to do that. And so what do we typically do to kids who are in high school? We give them the earliest start time.
I know, it's goofy, isn't it?
It is. It's exactly backwards. So giving these high school students the latest start times would be most consistent with their circadian process. And in fact, there are several school districts that have done this, and researchers have looked at the outcomes. And they find that when you push these school start times a few hours later for high school students, you get better attendance, you get better academic performance out of students, you get fewer behavioral issues, you get fewer auto accidents, and all of this is likely because they're actually sleeping more.
Mm. Thanks, Larry, so much for your call. Jerry in Clam Lake, hi.
Hi, thank you for your show.
Sure.
I have an answer for your problem.
but I need to know how to change it. And the answer is split the difference.
Tell me more about that. Split the difference? What do you mean?
Yeah, just when we go to spring ahead, instead of an hour, just do a half hour.
And then
leave it.
Okay. How about that, Professor?
Well, actually, one of my recommendations in my article on the mining injuries research is that trickling in the daylight saving time shift can actually be one way to mitigate some of the harmful effects. So instead of doing 1 hour all at once on one day, maybe you trickle in 30 minutes on one day and then 30 minutes on the next day. So this is very consistent with the recommendation from your caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I think splitting the difference would minimize some of the harms that we get from the policy. I'd still rather just get rid of it altogether. But I think changing by a half hour is probably better than changing by 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. And George, on our email, dittos what you have to say. He's voting in your favor. Thanks very much, Jerry, for the call. Cindy in Fox Cities. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. I must be a vampire because I like this time of year. I like the darkness. I like the moonlight. I like the stars. And a lot of Americans really have to go to work at 5:30, 6:30 in the morning, and it's so much easier to go to bed at night when it's dark at 8:30 or 9 as opposed to waiting till 9:30 for it to get dark. So for me, I much rather prefer this time of year.
What time do you go to sleep, Cindy?
Well, I like to go to bed between 8:30 and 9, but when it's light out, I can't sleep, so it's usually 9:30 or so, and then, of course, I'm dragging my butt the next day because I didn't get enough sleep.
Yeah. I wonder what time most people go to bed. That seems so early to me to go to sleep. Does it to you, Christopher?
Well, sleep researchers, when they look at the averages for bedtimes, find that most people go to bed within about 90 minutes, one way or the other, of 10:30 at night. That's kind of the norm, with clear exceptions to that as well. What I think was interesting about this last comment is that your caller says that this time of year is what she likes best.
Right.
This is standard time. This is the time we would be on if all year round if we got rid of daylight saving time.
Right. Thank you very much for your call, Cindy. Ron in Wisconsin. Hi, Ron.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Ron.
Say, me and the wife, we used to live up in Alaska.
Oh.
In the eastern interior. Well, summertime was great because it was light pretty much all night long. But in the wintertime, it wouldn't get light till 10 in the morning. And it would be dark at 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, right.
How so we found that burning the brighter fluorescent lights helped us during the day, you know, and then we'd go to bed at 9 o'clock at night, you know, but we'd turn the fluorescents on, and they seemed to help us.
Yeah. That must be strange to live in that kind of light pattern, wasn't it, Ron?
Yeah, we didn't see the sun for him months, but...
Right.
Flew to Anchorage, and then you could see it for, about 2 inches over the horizon for about 3 inches.
Probably almost worth the trip, wasn't it? Yeah. Professor Burns.
Yeah, I think that's a clever strategy for managing the light to help keep your circadian process on track. There's research that looks at light exposure as a way to regulate your melatonin. Melatonin is the chemical that your body uses to tell the rest of your body it's time to go to sleep now. And so exposing yourself to blue light disrupts that process of producing melatonin. So you want to be around blue light when you want to be awake. And then when it's time to go to sleep, you want to be away from blue light. So a lot of people who are in northern Alaska will use really effective blackout shades on their windows
mm-hmm.
so they don't get sunlight coming in while they're trying to sleep. Because a lot of people find that difficult to fall asleep when the sun is still shining through.
Oh, absolutely. I sure do. It's almost impossible. Thanks so much, Ron, for your call. We go to Park in La Crosse next. Hi, Park.
Hello. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I used to live in Indiana back in the pre-daylight savings time days, and I had two comments. One was... when we got a governor who proposed switching over to daylight savings time, one of the arguments was that it would be good for business because national and international businesses never knew what time it was in Indiana.
Right.
And at the time, I asked my uncle, who was the vice president for a national corporation, and he said, heck no. And then at the time, we had a state representative who was arguing that we definitely should adopt daylight savings time because with more daylight, we'd have less crime. Way to chuckle at that, just no more daylight, of course.
Right, right. Professor Burns.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. You're not changing the amount of daylight. You're just changing the distribution throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. I know you've also, I believe you have done some research here on the impact of electronic media on sleep as well. Is it bad?
Yes. So in one of my studies, we measured the amount of time people use their smartphones after 9 p.m. And we found that the number of minutes spent on your smartphone after 9 p.m. Comes at the cost of your sleep that night. And as a result, you go into work the next day sleepy and lower in work engagement that day at work. So there's kind of an irony here in that a lot of people are trying to squeeze in a little bit more work on their phone at night, and as a result, they end up working less the next day because they're just too tired.
Mm.
Again, this boils down to that same physiological process with melatonin, where blue light suppresses the production of melatonin, and you have to have that melatonin in order to be able to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Park, for your call. Gail Fish Creek, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
The daylight savings has always been, since I've been a kid, always I used to drag. And then as I got older, I figured out the way I deal with it is I will adjust my sleeping time and I will make myself go to bed earlier. And I did some research and I found all I do is now is when we're going to spring ahead and I lose the hour, I work at having peanut butter and some cherry jam, and that helps the melatonin without having to deal with actually using the hormones, which I don't like to do. So I just do it naturally with foods, and I just discipline myself to regulate my sleep a little bit ahead of time, a little bit after, and I kind of buffer the shift, and then I work it out well because I really do like that extra light in the summer. I do get a lot more done in the summer months, and I have that energy, and then I know, like the bears, we kind of hibernate a little bit in the winter.
How true.
And so we regulate. And I think we should leave it because we have to learn how to regulate and be in balance as best we can. And we're the ones who I think individually need to try to adjust and make it happen.
So peanut butter and jelly helps you sleep, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. That sounds good. It's kind of a nice way to go to sleep, have some PB&J.
As long as it's cherry, it's good.
Cherry. Oh, it has to be cherry.
Cherries, yeah, because it's the cherries that help the body produce its own melatonin, and it'll do it without overdoing it with any kind, you know. So taking a supplement of melatonin is kind of like, well, you can't regulate how much, but taking a little spoonful of cherry jam is maybe all you need before you go to bed.
That sounds good, Christopher, doesn't it?
Well, I think we can say certainly that your own natural melatonin is better than any melatonin you take out of a bottle. I haven't seen any research on whether or not peanut butter and jam sandwiches will influence that. But I do think that you made a good point in looking at your own bedtime patterns and managing those when we get to these transitions between daylight saving time and back, especially if you can trickle in that change a little bit of time and say, okay, I know daylight saving time transition is coming up in 5 days, so I'm going to go to bed 10 minutes early tonight and then an additional 10 minutes earlier the next night, and work it in that way. I think that can be a great strategy.
That's hard to do, though, isn't it? Because you have more light. So it seems as though you have more light, you're out in the garden, you have more energy, you can go for a swim, and then to have to go to bed early takes away all the fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a clear temptation to stay out later when you have more light available in the evening. And I'm in Seattle, which is, you know, another northern latitude, so we also get these nice long days in the summer. I remember when I was a kid, when it came time for fireworks for the 4th of July, you know, just waiting so long for it to be dark enough for the fireworks.
Right.
So the tricky part is if you want to go to sleep, just try to cut off all that light exposure as best you can. And so in my house, I have a set of blinds and a set of curtains that go over the top of the blinds so that sunlight won't keep me awake.
Mm. Thanks, Gail, so much for your call. Jake in Madison, hi.
Hi. My question was related to someone who earlier talked about in Indiana, like the comment was that it would affect the crime rate. And I've read that if there's more daylight when people usually get off work, so between 5 p.m. and like onwards, so like the summer hours, that more daylight actually does have an impact on crime. I forget which way it goes. If it's darker earlier, that there's more likely to be crime.
That's true, isn't it, Professor Burns?
So I think I have seen some research to indicate that crime is especially likely to happen when it's dark. But I don't think that changing what time of day we have the clock set to will have much of an impact on the amount of crime. I don't think that criminals have a hard time staying up one extra hour later. It's not going to make a big difference. That's just my own speculation.
Hmm. And we go to Gerald in Rhinelander. Hi. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
My perspective is remembering some years back I moved from Maine to Ohio in the middle of the summer. And we had about 9 o'clock in Maine with daylight saving time. It went till 10 o'clock when we moved to Ohio. And I remember thinking, well, people in this end of the time zone need daylight saving time. The proposal is we ought to shift the time over by one half to sort of split the difference on that and leave them the same all year. That would give everybody the illusion of having some more daylight.
Uh-huh.
And
all right, Professor Burns.
Yeah, I think, you know, splitting the change in half makes a lot of sense. I do think that a lot of people are liking the idea of making daylight saving time permanent. I'm not convinced that's a long-term solution. I think that we'll just readjust to that new set of times, and we'll end up using the same set of behaviors that we use now. But I do like the idea of shrinking the amount of time that we change the clocks by. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sleeping is a big issue for people in this country, isn't it? It's just amazing how many people are really seriously sleep-deprived.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's somewhere around a third of us on any given night. They're getting less than 6 hours of sleep.
Ooh.
And that's a level that's low enough to be problematic on a lot of different outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. We go to Randy in Sauk County. Hello, Randy.
Yeah, hi. Great topic. I think your study is very appropriate. It's very timely. I think that things should be left alone one way or the other. There are a number of people like me. I had always felt like there was something wrong with my sleep, and I went through a sleep study, which they're very good at there at the UW, and turned out that I'm on a two-day cycle, and I have one night, and I don't need hardly any sleep, but I do go ahead and get maybe a couple hours or an hour and a half or so, and then the next night I need maybe 10 or so, and I know when I'm completely rested. And now that I cooperate with that, everything's fantastic. But I can tell you this, when we go to regular time, life is good. Daylight savings time is one more complication to that. And so there are a lot of people like me that have these other problems, and then that change is one more complication.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the people having accidents and so on. Once I realize this and manage it, so thank goodness the people that help people with these sleep studies and adjust to this, but that change is a problem. You are right.
Professor?
Yeah, I think, so this is a very unusual sleep pattern, to sleep
yes.
a few hours one night and then extra hours on another night. Most of us would not do very well under that particular sleep schedule, but I think that the important point here is that we have to listen to our own natural circadian process. We have very effective mechanisms that govern when we should be sleeping, and when we work against those, we create problems. So when we do things like monkey with the clock and change what time it is, that works against our own natural sleep patterns. So I think the core of the issue here makes a lot of sense. Listen to your natural sleep process and follow that as best you can.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for the call. Well, the phone lines were going on that one. Professor, I want to thank you so much for being with us. It was very interesting, and thanks for giving some important policy suggestions for us to mull over.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Our guest this half hour, Professor Christopher Burns, an associate professor of management at Foster School of Business, who does researching of sleep and fatigue issues in the workplace, along with some other issues. We also thank Lawrence Jin, who's a PhD student at Cornell University, co-author of Does Daylight Saving Time Really Make Us Sick? Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour, and thanks to Zeb Gozman for on-air production here in our studios. We're with you again tomorrow. We're going to be talking about school boards, the first hour of our program tomorrow, and then we hope you'll join us for the second hour of the show, actually, when we're it's the second hour, we're talking about the huge amount of money out-of-state donors are writing for local school board elections. That's coming up tomorrow during this hour. News is ahead from National Public Radio. Thanks for all of your calls, and thank you very much for listening. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock.